Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms this morning, we're going to read Psalm 34, verses 6 through 8 this morning. The book of Psalms, Psalm 34, verses 6 through 8. I'll read aloud as you read silently this morning. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's Word as we read the Word of God together. Psalm 34, verses 6, 7, and 8. Again in verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these encouraging words. Thank you for the opportunity that we have, as we've even spoke this morning, of our freedoms in this country, to be able to have the man of God come and preach freely from the word of God. Help us not to take it for granted this morning. Help us to get our minds on what the preacher has to say and apply it to our lives. And God, if there's one in this room that does not know for sure, not 100% sure they're going to heaven, that today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. As you're being seated this morning, I'll ask you now to sit very still and listen carefully and turn all your electronic devices to vibrate or to off. We're thankful to have some of our folks back home. We've been out fighting fires, and they were able to be home today for a little bit, and good to have you back home with us. I know that they're having to be on call and things like that. We understand that. We don't want you to turn those things off, obviously, but just put them on vibrate or whatever you have so it won't make noise during the service today. And listen very carefully. These last few weeks, we have been giving you a spiritual medical exam. We've been checking your hearing. We've been checking your sight. How do you see? This morning, I'm going to work on your taste buds. How you taste. Do you remember the soup diet? A few years ago. Those skinny people don't need to go on a diet. I hope you wake up, look like me one morning and have to go on a diet. But it was several years ago, and it was the soup diet. It was this diet they used for heart patients to help them to lose weight quickly. Remember the soup diet, Brother Evans? We did it at the same time, as I recall. And it was a diet, anytime you have a diet that says you can eat all you want, I'm up. I'll be first on the list. And it had kinds of vegetables and stuff in it, and you could eat as much of it as you wanted to. And then after several days of eating this soup three times a day, for some days, then you get one day where you get a potato or something like that. I forget what it was. And you went 14 days, I think it was, and at the end of 14 days, you got to have a steak. I was growing the cow to make that steak. Believe me, I was going to have me the steak. Didn't say how big, so I figure I'm having me a steak. So after 14 days of eating this stupid soup, and after, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't do it, now after about 3 or 4 days, you're sick and tired of that soup, and you're sick and tired of the way. Diets are stupid, people. Just change the way you eat and exercise and do what you're supposed to do. Forget the diet thing. But we did, yeah, that's right. But we got to the 14 days, and I was ready, I was ready, I was ready, I was ready, I was ready for some food. Bought a nice, big, thick, good steak. Went out in the backyard, got the barbecue fired up, ran out of gas. I ripped it off the barbecue, tore up the hose, ran down to the store, tanked up that propane tank, ran back to the house, fired it back up, got that grill going. I like my steak about medium or something like that. I don't know as I even waved it over the fire that night. I mean, I was ready to eat this thing. And I salt and peppered it real good, and I sat down and I cut that steak and I put it in my mouth, and I could not taste a thing. And I thought, I killed my taste buds. I couldn't taste it. I could not taste it. there was some coating in my mouth. We were standing on the platform on the stupid diet, and I turned to Brother Evans and I said, I can't even see the third row. I can't see anything. What's happening? It was messing up my eyes. It's terrible. These diets are ridiculous. But I thought I had killed my taste buds. I ate that whole steak and couldn't taste anything. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. This thing about taste, do you understand what it means? It didn't say eat, it says taste. When someone offers you and says, this is good, taste this. There's a certain element of trust involved in it. Agreed? Seriously. When my wife and I went out to, we were on an anniversary trip one time, and we were in a really nice restaurant over on the coast and had a buffet, nice buffet there, and they had caviar on the buffet. Now, I don't care what you call it, friend. Caviar is fish eggs. That's all that stuff is. I don't care if it's $250 an ounce. Fish eggs are fish eggs. And I saw it on the buffet, and I pulled it on the plate, and I put it on a cracker, and I tasted it. Fish eggs. That's what it was. It was beluga caviar. I mean, it was very expensive. And I sat down, I looked at my wife, and I said, honey, you're not going to believe it, but they have caviar on this buffet. Have you ever had caviar? She said, no. And I go, oh, it's delicious. You got to go try it. And she put some caviar on her cracker, and then that was kind of the end of the good part of the trip. But there's a certain element of trust in taste. There's a certain element, it's called try it. We get to travel a bit, and we've traveled some places around the world. I do not want to go to Africa and eat at McDonald's. Now, that's stupid to me. First of all, I wouldn't eat at McDonald's in America. But I can't imagine. I don't understand. And the only people who go to American restaurants in other parts of the world are Americans. If you want to find Americans, go to the nearest Burger King or McDonald's. There's Americans there. But why do you go to Germany and eat burgers? That's not the place to have a hamburger. You go there. I want to find out what they eat, and I want to try it. Now, there's some places I've been in the world where I thought, you know, they put it on the plate, and I looked at it, and they said, would you like to try that? And I thought, if you'll get it to quit moving, I'll try to eat it. But it's moveth itself aright. And some things I looked at it, and I thought, man, I'm not sure I'm going to put that in my mouth. That's got legs on it. I mean, that's looking a little peculiar right here. But I like to try stuff. When we go to another place in the world, I want to try. I tell them, I want to. What's a regular Venezuelan breakfast? We're in Venezuela just recently. What's a regular Venezuelan breakfast? And so he brought some stuff out, and I didn't eat it because it was all deep fried junk. But he brought it out. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of trying something. It's a matter of taking something. That's what tasting means here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's not talking about actually tasting. He's talking about actually trusting. He's talking about actually trying something with God, finding something out about God, and here's what you'll find out. God is really good. We don't all have the same taste in food. What some people really like, when I was a kid and I went to a Chinese restaurant for the first time and they brought the food out and I looked at that, I thought, there is no way I'm putting that in my mouth. There is no way. I have bad head colds that look better than that stuff. I am not putting that in my mouth, and I refuse to eat it. Just wouldn't eat it. The truth is, until I actually tasted it, found out how really good the stuff is. It doesn't taste like a bad head cold. But anyway, the idea is when we taste to see that the Lord is good, it means we're going to have to exercise some trust. You're going to have to try some things about God and find out about it. But you're going to have to find out about it for yourself. Every kid's looked at green beans and thought, there's no way I'm putting that in my mouth. While parents tried to explain to them how actually really good they are. But you've got to get them to try it to find out how good it is. Yes? Taste and see that the Lord is good, the Bible says. It's not talking about actually eating something. It's talking about faith. It's talking about trust. It's talking about trying. It's talking about taking something of God for yourself to find out just how good God really is. Now, before we get to what that is, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 this morning, because there's something here I don't want you to taste at all. I want you to see something. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Take your Bible, turn there now. This is very important. Hebrews chapter 6. And if I say something that's not important, I'll tell you. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 4. There are some things we don't want to taste because it creates some serious problems in our lives. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, please. It says in Hebrews 6, 4, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened," look at the statement, "and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." Notice two things to not be tasting here. They tasted the heavenly gift, it says in verse number 4, and they tasted of the good word of God. It says if they do that in verse number 6, if they fall away, you cannot renew them to repentance. Now there are some who take this passage to teach that a Christian could lose their salvation if they don't live up to the profession of their faith. Nothing could be further from the truth. Number one, you cannot lose salvation. You did not deserve it, so you cannot undeserve it. Not possible. And by the way, if these verses teach that, then verse 6 says it's impossible to renew them to repentance. So if these verses teach you can lose your salvation, these verses teach you can't get it back. Once you've lost it, it's over with. You have given it away. You can't have it back. You cannot be renewed again unto repentance. So that's not what this verse teaches. But what it does teach is this. Look at me. What it teaches is that there were Hebrews who were coming to their church in those days, sitting there in church and listening and hearing about the heavenly gift. What is that? Salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The heavenly gift is salvation. And there were people coming to church and hearing that salvation was all of grace, all of a gift. It's all of God. You do not earn it. God gives it to you. You receive it by faith. And they heard it and they went, "Well, that's interesting. That's interesting." But did not receive the gift. They just simply tasted of it. They took a little bite, as it were. They took a little sample, but they did not receive the gift of eternal life. They go, "Huh, that's interesting. Gift of salvation by faith, not by works. Interesting. I like that, but I don't think I agree with that. That's contrary to my religion. I don't agree with that. That's contrary to my philosophy. I don't agree with that. That's contrary to the way that I was raised." And they taste of the heavenly gift and turn from it. Nobody walks down an aisle of a buffet line of food and eats everything in there. But if you see something that's interesting, you might take it and try a taste to see whether you like it or not. That's what a lot of people do with church nowadays. They go to church, they sit, they listen, they hear it, and they go, that's interesting. That's interesting. Salvation by grace through faith, that Christ's work is finished. And the work of salvation is not by what I do. It's not by my baptism. It's not by my confirmation. It's not by my church membership. That is by the gift of God that Jesus paid for with his bloody death and his resurrection. And they see it as a gift and they taste it, but they do not take it themselves. No, you don't want to taste the gift of eternal life, friends. You want to take the gift of eternal life. You want to receive that by faith and trust in Christ. Don't taste of salvation. Partake of it. Receive Christ as your Savior. But wait a minute. Look at verse number 5. "And have tasted the good word of God." They go to church and they say, "You know what, that preacher? He really lays it out there. He makes it pretty simple. I tell you what, you go to a church, a good Bible preaching church, you can't miss it unless you're not paying attention." And they go to a church like that, and they've been to these churches that aim at nothing and, you know, and aim at nothing and hit it every Sunday, and they start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull, and they've been to those kind of churches where, or the Reverend, Dr. Reverend Wigglip's not today, we're going to discuss the doctrine of infralapsarianism, and they sit there, and they can't figure out what in the world he's talking about. But he sounded smart and intelligent. And they get up and they leave church. They have no idea what went on. They come to a church and there's a Bible preaching going on. And they say, now that's interesting. That's very direct. Of course, I don't like it, but that's very direct. And they taste the good word of God. They'll even tell you, "Oh, hey, I like that kind of stuff. I like it. I'm not going to go there, but I like it." Kind of like folks in our town. You know, there's people in this city when they have a loved one come and visit them from out of town. They go to another church in town. They have a loved one come visit them from out of town. They come here because they want to bring their loved one over here to hear the gospel preached, because they don't do that where they go to church. Now, I'm sorry, folks, but that's one of those D-U-H things. That's duh. Why are you sitting there wasting your time in a church that doesn't care about your soul, but when you want your grandpa to get saved, you bring him over here because the Bible is preached? That doesn't even make sense to me. But frankly, that's wicked. Number two, it's just tasting. It's just tasting. You know, yeah, okay, well, you know, I'll tell you what, one thing, you get it pretty straight. Yeah, that's great. But you know something? That's just tasting of it. It's sitting in a pew, occupying some time, getting a little bit of what you want, get up and go home and do nothing else with what you got. You know, the Bible says that if that's the attitude a person has, that person never came to Christ because they tasted the heavenly gift but didn't receive it. They just listened to what the Bible said but just tickled their ear enough to get a little bit of it but not receive it. No, you better take the whole Word of God, friend. We come to church. Listen now, listen to me. We're a whole enchilada church here. Ooh, enchilada. We're a whole enchilada church. You understand that? We're a Chinese church here. That means you come in, you get the menu, you don't make any substitutions or deletions or additions. You take the whole thing or you leave it. We preach everything the Bible says and all that the Bible says. And our attitude should be, go ahead and give me what the Bible says. I want to hear what the Word of God says. No taste in the Bible, friend. We're not going to sample the Word of God. We're going to take everything the Word of God teaches us. It's dangerous, the Bible says, for they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. And that's why many people come to church lost and leave lost. It's not because the message is not clear in a Bible preaching church. It's because their attitude about it is, well, that's an interesting concept. We approach the Word of God like it's some kind of a political debate. No, that's two things you don't want to taste today. You don't want to taste salvation, and you don't want to taste the Word of God. You want to take salvation, and you want to take all that the Bible says. We need that. Do you know something, dear people? When the Bible talks about our spiritual taste of things, do you realize, you're in Hebrews, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Do you realize there's something you've already tasted and didn't even know it? 1 Peter chapter 2. You've already tasted some things and didn't even realize it. It's a wonderful thing today. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse number 3. It's the chicken and goat illustration. I was in Texas a while back, years ago, and I'd heard about barbecued Spanish goat. And I was told if you ever get to Texas, in the southern part of Texas, you can get a chance to eat barbecued Spanish goat. You want to be sure to get barbecued Spanish goat. And I, like I say, I'm a guy who likes to try stuff. So I thought, okay, I'm in South Texas with some relatives and my wife's people. They say we're having a barbecue. What would you like to have? And they'd hire a guy across town to do the barbecue for them. And I said, one of these times when we're here, I'd like to have some barbecued Spanish goat. Never had it. And they said, okay, and they put some things up. Then they get the family together, and this guy barbecued chicken and ribs and all sorts of things. And I got my plates. I said, plates. And I'm going through the line and putting salad on there and some ribs and things. And then I saw, I like thighs, chicken meat. I saw the biggest chicken thighs I ever saw in my life. And I figured, this is Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. Biggest chicken thighs I'd ever seen. This is incredible. So I put two of those on my plate. And I said, all right, we're going for it. Big chicken. They got big chickens in Texas. And I'd sit down there and I rip some of that meat off of there and run it through the barbecue sauce. Poked it in my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the nastiest chicken I ever put in my mouth. They didn't tell me that it was goat. Now, when you're thinking chicken and you're eating goat, you got a problem. Because they don't taste like chicken. They taste good, actually. But if you're thinking goat, you're fine because you're ready for a different flavor. But if you're thinking chicken and you're eating goat, you got a problem because goat don't taste like chicken. Chicken tastes like chicken. Do you realize today the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 3 that you have tasted? Well, look what it says, 1 Peter 2, 3. It says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Do you know you have tasted of the grace of God this week and may not even have known it? Say, nothing special happened to me this week. Did you drive in a car? How many of you drove in a car this week? A car. Would you put your hand up? How many of you drove in a Ford this week? Would you put your hand up? You experienced the gracious miracle of God. You even got to church this morning. You know the average person today in America is killed in a car accident within 15 to 20 miles of their house. But you didn't realize you experienced the graciousness of God and He watched over and protected you while you slept at night. And protected you when you got behind the wheel of a car. You got out of bed this morning and drew breath. That's the grace of God. Your heartbeat, that's the grace of God. Sometimes we taste things of the goodness of God and don't even realize it. Because He's so gracious to us. Grace is undeserved favor. We experienced the grace of God. We tasted of that grace this week and did not even know what we were doing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I give you a couple quick tastes this morning that we do need to have in our life? You need to taste the goodness of God in your life. The goodness, and now, the goodness of the Lord Himself. His name means con man or trickster, which in the Hebrew is politician, but his name's Jacob. And he has cheated his brother. He's cheated his father. He's cheated a bunch of people in his life, and now after many years, Jacob, 20-some years later from running away from home, from cheating people, he's on his way back home to get it right. And he stops in a place called Mahanaim, and alone at night, he has a wrestling match. The Bible says, with the angel of the Lord. The statement, the expression in the Bible, the angel of the Lord, is a theophany. It means an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. And there in that place of Mahanaim, Jacob wrestled with Jesus all night long. And as the sun began to come up, neither one could prevail. Could you imagine the strength of a man who could wrestle with the pre-incarnate Christ all night long? And as the sun began to come up, the Lord said, "Let me go, I've got to leave." And Jacob, the Bible said, clung to the Lord. And Jesus reached down and grabbed him by the inside of his thigh and crippled him. And Jacob was reduced to clinging. And he said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." He said, "What's your name?" "Jacob's my name. Con man, trickster, politician. That's my name." And he says, "No, your name is Israel now, a prince with God." Later in Hebrews, it would say of Jacob that he worshiped God leaning on the top of his staff, because every step in his life from that day forward, he would take that step. And every step of his life would remind him of a wrestling match he had with God, and God won. But Jacob was a different man after that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. Do you know that? Don't taste His word. Don't taste the salvation. Just take a taste. Try and trust God enough to get close enough to Him to let Him do something in your life, and you'll find out for yourself just how good it is. Tell them all you want to, but if you just try this, it's good. I can tell you how good God is. He can tell you how good God is. Everyone around you can tell you how good God is, but till you taste for yourself, you're never going to know how good He really is in life. You're going to miss that about Him. No, we want God on our terms. We want to win the wrestling match. We want to pin God 2 out of 3. So God is subject to our wishes and our will and our way and the way we want to do things. Or we want to put Him at arm's length and wonder why God is not close to us, because you just keep pushing Him away in your life and how you live and what you do. Oh, taste and see that He is good. He'll never do anything to harm you. He'll never do anything to hurt you that's not for your best and the best of others. But you've got to trust Him enough to take Him close enough to you in your life on His terms. That's why Jacob lost that wrestling match. You think the Lord couldn't put that guy down in a second? He let Jacob spend himself out, and then He crippled him to get him to that place where he was reduced to clinging. But then he found out how good God was in his life. And from that day forward, Jacob was not a trickster anymore. He wasn't a con man anymore. He was a different man. But he found out something about God for himself that he needed to know. And that's what you and I need to do today, in tasting to see that the Lord is good. You need to find that out for yourself. But now, friend, to know that and to find that out, that's going to have to be on His terms, not yours. Hey, He might have to cripple you. He might have to take something away from you. He might have to see the reason for the leg thing with Jacob was because that was the source of his strength. And He took that from him. So Jacob then would have to halt upon his thigh, the Bible said. And the rest of his life, he would spend that. And every step he'd say, "Mahanaim, I met the Lord that night. I came a con man and I left a prince." And he found out for himself that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Find out about the Lord what you need to know for your own self. Number two today. It says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that put his trust in him. See, that taste and that trust thing, they're always tied together. Do you know what you need to taste today to find out for yourself? You need to taste and find out what the real Christian life is like. I said the real Christian life. I didn't say the Christian life. I said the real Christian life. Go to any religious bookstore in our area here and look up stuff on the Christian life. What it is. Everybody's got their own idea about it. They got their own understanding and expression of it. But you know what the real Christian life is like? Study the life of Jesus Christ and how he called people to follow him. See, today everyone wants to make the Christian life palatable to people. It's easy as possible. No demands, no expectations. Nothing demanding about the preaching. Nothing demanding about the music. Nothing demanding about the call. Nothing demanding. Very easy. Very laid back. Very calm. Let it all hang out, baby Christianity. Just sort of move along. Everything's going to be okay. And they make a palatable Christianity. People will flock by the thousands to come to that junk. And I said junk too. But you follow what Jesus told people when he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he said, come with me. I want you to follow me. They said, where are we going, Lord? He said, I can tell you this. I don't have anywhere to sleep tonight. I have nowhere to lay my head. Oh, by the way, and if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. They were called disciples. You know what the word disciple means? Disciplined one. Jesus called them to a disciplined life. That was demanding and rigorous. It had expectations. We're looking at these Olympics that are coming up here in Beijing, in China. These young people have been training for years to get prepared for a one-moment event. They'll run the 100-meter dash in less than 10 seconds. Years of work will be over in less than 10 seconds. All they have to do is just make one false move, one error in their technique, and they're out of the race and they lose. They have to be extremely disciplined at what they do. We have no problem with that with athletics. We have no problem with that in the business world. We have no problem with that in other things in life. But when it comes to Christian life, we want something palatable, easy, with no expectations and no demands upon our lives. That's not the real Christian life. But the problem is this, not trying to get you to understand you have to pay a price to follow Christ. It's to get you to understand blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The blessings come from being willing to taste what the real Christian life is like. Because God gets in the middle of that thing, friend. Otherwise, hey, guess what? You're out there on your own. You're trying to make this whole thing work now. You're trying to live that half in, half out, half on, half odd Christianity. That's kind of the stuff where you keep it on your own terms. You go to church when you feel like it. You do what you want to when you want to. You handle it the way you want to deal with it. And you wonder, well, you know, the Christian life really ain't doing it for me. No, your problem is you're not in, friend. You're not in like you ought to be in. Why don't you get in and take a full taste and find out what the real Christian life is like and how blessed is the one who trusteth in him. Yes. But you see, that's... you're going to have to take that taste. We can tell you what it is. Don't you understand, dear people, how much easier it would be to have a larger crowd in this church than we have already if I just back off and just tell you, hey, piece of cake, show up when you feel like it, do what you feel like, live the way you want to. Do you understand how much easier that would be? Be a lot easier on me. Be a lot easier on you. Problem with that is this. It's robbing you of blessings. Because the real Christian life isn't just about the price you pay. It's what you gain from the price that's paid. Okay, one more time. Listen to me. The analogy of the red stripes and that flag and the freedoms we enjoy in this country is so powerful. We have freedoms someone else paid for, but no one has freedoms without a price. Nobody. You don't have them. I do not have them. No one has freedoms without price. No one has privileges without price. Nobody does. Someone pays for something that's beneficial. It happens to everybody. It happens for you and it happens for me. And the Christian life, friend, believe me, there is something that's just so precious about taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him, is willing to say, okay, God, I'm going to stop this peripheral Christianity, this on the edge, I'm in when I want to, out when I feel like it stuff, and I'm going to get in. And whatever you want from me, that's what I'm going to do. That's why diets are so stupid. You lose a bunch of weight and you turn right around. What do? You go out and celebrate you lost a bunch of weight and put it all back on again. It's crazy. The point is, something has to be done. Agreed? And something, ladies and gentlemen, has to be done about the fact that too many of us today live an experiential Christian life that's not ours because we're not tasting it for ourselves. And God's telling you, you're missing something here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Let's stand to our feet, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.